The Comedy Zone Podcast is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Comedy Zone Podcast with Will Jacobs. Find us on Twitter at the CZ Podcast. Email us at comedyzonepodcast@gmail.com.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning back in. Of course, I am Joy Wills, and you are listening to the Comedy Zone Podcast, stepping in for Jason Allen King. Yep. For a few weeks here. So I appreciate you listening. I'm very excited for this episode. It is September 22nd, Thursday. And one of my favorite people that I've gotten to meet on my comedy journey is going to be joining us from Durham. He's an amazing stand-up comedian. Got to start in NYC over in New York, and he's been back in Durham. And I've gotten lucky enough to work with him on several occasions. So guys, please welcome Harrison Tweed.
Hey, hey, how are you, Joy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Those were kind things to say. It has been very fun getting to know you over the last, it's probably been a year at least.
Yeah. I can't even think about when we met. When we get together though, we have like pretty deep talks.
Yeah, we do. We especially specific, it's weird to say like, it's deep and also specifically like comedy deep, which I feel like sounds like, are we doing like really deep bits with each other? But no, it's more just like philosophy.
Right. Well, it's so funny because I feel that like when I'm sincere about something, I like no one can tell if I'm joking or not. And we do sound like such nerds when we really do talk about it. That right. If someone started to make fun of me when I was being sincere, I'd be like, yeah, I was just fucking with you. Like that. I don't even mean any of that.
Right. No, I feel the same way. It's I do like nerding out, especially about comedy. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like when I was in New York, I guess I just don't run into it as much down here. Or I don't see it as much, which is people. Comedians specifically being like bored with talking about stand-up, like you know, a micro degree. And I thought that's why we were doing this. I didn't know.
We were like, yeah,
didn't know you're just kind of like bored but like giving away your youth for this like incredibly impossible thing. But you're also not that into it. Like, I don't know what's
right.
wrong.
It's,
you're weirder. I think,
it's hard for like you and I to think that some people like do this as a hobby.
Right.
That it's just like something that they could give or take and that they enjoy doing, or it's whatever, because we do take it like really seriously.
Yeah, we do. And that doesn't mean we take ourselves seriously we take the experience of doing comedy very seriously, and that like is a real I hate to use this word, like quest, especially in positions that we're in, you know, because we're both on the like earlier sides of our career to varying degrees, like. And I remember when I was starting in New York, I ended up being pretty like decent pretty quickly, like in the sense that I was like passably good on stage.
Yeah.
But I was only doing like, you know, 5 to 7 minutes or something like that. And I had like a lot of enthusiasm about it, not about just like me personally, just like about like the whole thing. I was like, this is so awesome.
Yeah.
I remember just kind of like bumming certain people out. Because I was so enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to match this. And then I remember having to like be very like finding my people. And then over the course of the next few years, like being like, oh, these are my people that I talk like this with. These are the people I just have chat, you know, small talk comedy, small talk, not, which is just like, that show's good. That show's bad. That guy sucks. That guy's cool, you know,
Yeah, people can get jaded pretty quickly, you find.
Yeah. Do you think you're jaded in any way in comedy to a certain extent? I was just wondering.
Maybe a little. And I think it can come off as like elitist because I've even had like really new open micers like come up really excited and saying all this stuff. Like, I should know who, like, they're like, you're gonna hear about me one day. And right. I don't want to step on anyone's dreams, but I'm like, okay, honey, I sure hope I do. And yeah. It's someone who's been doing it like for 2 months, which is great. I want you to have all the energy, but it yeah. is kind of like funny to hear.
I know. And it's also just like, you just know, like, how long have you been doing it now? How long have you been doing stand-up?
Even with the pandemic, I started in April of 2019 stand-up.
19. Okay, cool. So you've been doing it for a while now. And these people are like a few months, 6 months, yeah. a year. And it's just like, because now I'm like 8.5 or something like that right now. And I think a lot of times, like, it's not that I don't want to talk to you right now or mm-hmm. want to talk to you. It's that I don't really want to talk to you right now. And it's not because I look down on you. It's just like, yeah. it's going to be, we don't relate to each other right now. We're like you're a third grader and I'm an eighth grader. And I just don't like, I'm interested in different things.
Yeah.
And like, I don't. And also I just know they're so panicky seeming. When they're young and they're anxious and they don't know what their voice is. And that includes talking off stage. Like, they don't know how they feel. Yeah. I guess I'm talking about young comedians. When people are like a little older and they start, I usually vibe with them better. Cause like, they are like, I don't know if this is going to work out, but I at least know who I am.
Yeah. Life has hit them to some degree, whether it's like comedy or not.
Yeah. Cause I remember when I was young, in 2011, I started, like, I went to a few open mics in my senior year of college, and I remember being like, oh, these jokes, like, I didn't like the jokes I was doing. I was just doing, like, an impression of someone doing mm-hmm. jokes. And I didn't really end up starting till, like, 2014 or 15, where I'd, like, lived a little bit, like, had, you know, maintained a job, was paying bills, had sex with people. But not at like a college setting, like, you know, met and courted, and so I just had better judgment on how human beings relate to other human beings.
Yeah, you had lived.
Yeah, which is a different vibe than, like, unless your whole persona is like, I'm a young guy or I'm a young girl, mm-hmm. and this is how, and like, you are aware of yourself that you're a college student, like, and that is the perspective you're bringing to the table.
Yeah,
it's hard to take you seriously, but some people are really good at that. Like, some people actually do that really well. Mm-hmm. And I just never felt like, I felt like an old man that was 21. So like, I just like, this isn't, I'm not going to really showcase anything.
Yeah.
I was like, my heart was wise, but my brain wasn't. So I didn't have anything to share. That was that, or I didn't know what was interesting to share at that time.
Yeah. I mean, you'll see a lot of younger people, I mean, guys specifically. And it's like, did you just get off of Reddit? Like, what are you doing right now?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't get what their issues are. I'm like, why are you fired up? I think that's another.
They don't have any. That's the problem.
Yeah. I will say women that start at a younger age tend to be way more interesting on stage than.
Yeah. And you and I've talked about that too. And I think to a degree, it's because it takes a lot more usually for a female to be confident enough to go on stage. Right. And a lot of men they were born with that confidence and they feel like what they have to say deserves to be heard.
I know.
And so like, you'll have an open mic of 20 comedians. If 17 are guys and 3 of them are girls, 5 people are going to do well. And like, most of them are going to be women.
Yeah, that's totally true. And also there's this, you just mentioned like the men are just born with this confidence. It's even weird. They'll like confidently talk about how they have nothing going on or no one likes them and stuff. They'll be like so expressive and like try to like inject so much charisma into this. And I'm like, isn't the feedback that you shouldn't be doing this? like you're talking about all those people hate you.
In an open mic specifically, if you're around, people know you've been doing it longer than they have. If they ask you for advice on their set, how honest are you?
I can be on. I'm. I really hate when they ask.
Yeah, me too.
First of all, if I don't like it, then I'm not going to give you anything good. I'm not going to give you everything I'm feeling. If it's really bad and I don't think you're very funny, then I'd be like, the best advice I could give you is like, I don't know why any of the things you just said you thought were funny. If I'm being honest, I don't know what's funny about that. Yeah. And I've been doing comedy a lot and I've seen a lot of different jokes and I've watched a lot of stand up and none of it sounded like what you just did. And I don't mean like, I'm not saying you should steal jokes, but you should like figure out what funny things are. Before you like get into this profession.
That hits so hard because you're not trying. The way you just worded that is probably the meanest way you could go about it because you're not trying to be mean. You're sincerely like, help me understand why you thought that was funny.
And I don't speak like that. So that's why I kind of hope you don't ask because I will be forced to lie.
Yeah.
Or I will do this, which I think this is the most honest way to react to someone. The only thing that's dishonest about it is that I'm not telling them what I really feel, which is like, I just don't see, I don't think you have a presence on stage that is interesting to people where they want to hear what you're going to say, which is a really mean thing to say, but that also could mean maybe they're going to be a really good writer. Like I, that doesn't mean that they're not funny in their heart. I just mean like as a stand-up, like I knew people in New York where they were such incredible writers and such like conversational, like they just were hard to talk to. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm a good conversationalist
in the sense
I'm okay, like I can help, I'm easy to talk to, I would say. Mm-hmm. And so if it's really, really hard for us to have a conversation, it might be hard for you to like public speak, but that doesn't mean what you're saying is invalidated. Maybe you're more of like a humor column kind of comedian. And it sounds like I'm being a dick, but I don't mean that's worse. I think first of all, it sounds healthier than doing stand-up, but.
Yeah. I feel like you're putting a lot of weight in them finding the silver lining in what you're saying.
Right.
I feel
right.
like that's how you could see it and you could say, okay, like find the other avenues. I think someone open micer would be crushed here that they don't have the presence, but you're not wrong. I lie a lot. But I don't get asked all the time, but I remember one time this guy was about to go up and he comes up to me and he was like, my stuff's pretty dark. Mm-hmm. And that is the most annoying thing anyone can say. It feels like they're an edgy comic. Yeah. And so he goes up and he does like a bunch of Hitler rape and Bill Cosby jokes, incest jokes, and like does not do well whatsoever. And he comes up to me afterwards and he's like, told you, pretty dark. What'd you think? And I was like, do you really want to know? I was like, I don't know. I don't want to see your internet search history, honestly.
Yeah.
It was so terrifying. And like, if I walk off stage knowing that I didn't do well and even like just did okay, I'm not going to go around asking people what, so he must've thought part of him was like, hey, that went pretty well.
There's that devil's advocate style comedian and they always fuck it. It's like they're bulletproof in the sense that they can't take criticism because their whole thing is like, the reason that didn't go well is because it was too real.
They don't get it. They just don't get my humor.
It's like there's so many comedians that are so honest and so dark and so funny. And it's like the idea that like, David Tell is, he's just being a pandering, like he's just a birthday party guy. He doesn't like they're saying crazy shit all the time.
Does
all the my camera went off, it looks like. I don't know.
That's okay. We're not videoing.
Okay, good. Okay. Let me see. I have a thing that I can bring up. Sorry, I was on it. Yeah, no, it's just it's a very frustrating. I get so excited when I meet a comedian who's young and their whole thing is that they're like silly and kind of enthusiastic to a degree, or just like goofy, or they want to try impressions and stuff. Cause I'm like, this is such a breath of fresh air for like young people to go into comedy.
I feel the same exact way. And it's so opposite of my style. And I think that's why I enjoy it so much. I love someone who can just like go up there and make fun of themselves and be silly the entire time. It's my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got, so you got to see, and I'm so glad not many comedians have gotten to see my friend from New York, his name is Andrew Casertano. He doesn't
so
have
good.
Like, big like TV credit. You can't like find a Conan or something, but if you follow him on Instagram, his name is Andrew Casertano. I think it's Andrew Let's Connect is his name or his handle. And he does this stuff where it's like kind of musical comedy without an instrument. He's just kind of like hitting the mic.
I was dying the entire time. For everyone who doesn't know, I just did a show with Harrison. He booked me in Durham this past weekend, and Andrew was on it, a headline. He's from New York. Mr. Pants was on it.
He's done that on AGT.
Yeah, I didn't know that until you started that group text, and I texted one of my friends. I was like, apparently Mr. Pants is going to be there on Sunday. And she was like, her son was like, you have to get a picture with him. And I was like, okay.
Did you get one?
I didn't. I took a picture of him. I didn't get one with him.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think he might have changed as soon as he
got one. Yeah, he changes pretty quickly.
Yeah, you'd have to run into the bathroom with him. But Andrew, that like gimmick thing, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way, that shtick is something he's been doing ever since I've known him. Like that's
amazing.
The way he started doing stand-up, because he was not like a full-fledged, I am just obsessed with stand-up comedy guy. He loved certain comedians, like he loved George Carlin and but he also just liked art and comedy and like great like comedic actors. And he just found, and then I remember him telling me because he seems like such a sketch or improv or, you know, because he has those chops, he can do like voices and stuff.
Yeah, and he's a character.
He's so theatrical. Mm-hmm. And I remember him saying, I just never had as much fun in improv because like I couldn't do my thing. Like it was like, you know, and he was like, I was bad at sharing the stage. So he's kind of like a sketch comedian doing stand-up, but like in a way that makes stand-up comedians like really love. We aren't like, oh, look at this fucking gimmicky bullshit. We're like, this is like the funniest.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Shit I've ever seen. Yeah. So he came into comedy with that, like going hard at that. And I think that's what you got to realize. It's like when you like those first few riffs that do really well when you're young, like where you found out, like your brain went somewhere like creative and unique to you and it worked. Those are the instincts you got to like keep following and harnessing and become like making, creating your comedy persona or whatever you want to call it. Like you got to use that. Yeah.
I mean, it's so hard to be original these days, to be honest.
Totally. Most special, like, I watched like six specials and like four of them were basically the same special.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in like it just seems like, but another thing, like once you have that much money and you're have that many specials and you're that, like, I think you just only think about certain things. And so it makes it like, I would say this. There aren't that many comedians that are super famous that I'm interested in watching anymore. Not because I don't think they're great comics. I would love to see them live. I would love to see them like, but in terms of watching a special, I always feel like specials take something away from comedy anyway, where it's like, it's like a big theater. Doesn't have that intimacy. The way it's shot is kind of weird and like grandiose. And I never feel like the comedy I see from like, I will say there's like obviously exceptions. Like I'm so excited to see Chris Rock's next special. I know he hasn't recorded or anything, but I know like he's doing that Ego Death tour. And I was like, I love Tambourine. I love Bring the Pain. I think he's like one of the greatest to ever do it. So I'm really curious to see what his stand-up's like. And then there's some stuff where I'm like, I don't know. But here's what the reason I said that is because I feel like a lot of comics that are young are looking at all these super, super famous, like Logan, Chappelle, all that, like Whitney Cummings, and they're seeing what they're talking about, which is a lot of like cancel culture.
Right.
Gen Z is weird.
Those aren't our problems. Those are rich people problems.
I know. That was also what was so, did you end up watching the Carlin doc?
Oh no, I haven't yet. Didn't Judd Apatow do that?
Yeah. Oh right. You just met Judd.
I did, which was wild. I was like,
there. And then we found out.
That's what I said to him.
Yeah. And you live in Charlotte. Yeah. But that documentary really inspired me because it talks so much about how many walls he would hit. Like he had his thing when he's like really young on those like late night TV shows, and he was doing like the hippy dippy weatherman, and then he becomes like counterculture, and then like he hits another wall where he becomes like they start making fun of him on like SNL style shows, like doing caricatures of him. And then that's like when he goes to the drawing board and becomes like the abortion material and like the
So
then, and then he hits another wall where he's like just like kind of getting a little tired, and he gets like literally sick, and then he gets like, I mean, his later stuff is like it doesn't make me laugh that hard, but it's like kind of fun to watch because he's so violently nihilistic. And so it was just so interesting, and I was comparing that to like, and I know it's like I don't want to be like just like disparaging other I'm not like disparaging him. I'm like just a little underwhelmed by like, if we're gonna call Chappelle the GOAT, I would love to see some nuanced conversations from his stand-up that I feel like I'm just not getting because he's like too obsessed with shitting on the people shitting on him, where it's just like,
right, he's fighting a battle.
Hate, like everyone's always gonna get like, and so it's like just like turn it, like deleting Twitter and just like writing about what the things that are like really in your brain all the time that don't, you know, aren't responses to criticism. I would like to see, because there's not much of a, like Carlin had some shit about that, but I would not say that it didn't become like an arc of his career. I feel the same way a little bit about Richard Pryor, but anyway, I guess what I'm saying is that I like people like Maria Bamford. I love
Maria Bamford.
More young comedians were like absorbing her albums and stuff, because I feel like
we're starting to see some female comedians, at least like Meg Stalter, like these Charlotte people comic? That are characters.
Is Meg Stalter a Charlotte comic?
No, she's on Hacks on HBO. Okay. And she was actually just in Charlotte because she was in that, she's going to be in that Judd Apatow movie with Please Don't Destroy. And the Sarah from SNL, I can't remember her last name. And there's like a couple of, like, I think young female stand-ups are really just like, I think a lot of them started in improv and they've started doing stand-up, but like are just not afraid to be huge weirdos. And it's so good.
Yeah, it is. I think there's like, I guess what, maybe it's not that I don't, I guess I just would like to see more comedy specials presenting these kind of weird acts.
Yeah.
Where, because it does seem to be the like very like what I would consider like the super clubby, like alpha ish. I don't mean alpha male. I mean just like alpha presence stand-up comedians.
Well, yeah, there's like a handful of people who have like 6 or 7 specials now on like Netflix and whatever streaming service, and it's kind of like there are more. I mean, even though I swear Netflix is shelling them out, but I don't think they're trickling down a whole lot.
No, I know. I mean, the ones that I've loved that were like, youngish people doing stand up. I'm sure I'm going to miss some, but I love Taylor Tomlinson's. Mm-hmm. I've only seen the most recent one. I haven't seen her original. I know that one did really, really well. I love Sam Morril's last special. I thought that was.
Yeah, I did too.
Also,
it's funny you say them together.
You're right. Right. Cause aren't they? Yeah. I learned that.
I recently. Think so.
They're together, which is great. I like them.
Which both. Is hilarious.
Yeah. They're both so fucking funny. But anyway, there's some great comics out there, and I guess I'm just ready for the new generation to like be the people, like, mm-hmm. and that, I mean, that includes our crop too, but like, I just mean the people above us that are like,
yeah,
because like, there's some people that are absolute killers, and you know what's a good movie that I felt like looked at stand-up comedy in a different light that I was kind of refreshing. Did you see All About it's like All About Anna or something? I don't know. It's about a comedian mm-hmm. who's getting ready to audition for SNL, but it's
really
super dark. Yeah, it's really, really dark, but it's great. It's anyway, once I all about and then a woman's name, it's pretty a woman name. All About Nina. That's what it is. It's Nina. Great. It's really good.
But, I don't know that name, so it sounds like she didn't get it. My apologies to Nina.
Oh no, it's not a documentary. It's
it's an actual movie.
It's an actual movie, but it's about. I don't want to ruin it because I feel like there's a huge twist, but it is about kind of. The male toxicity and stand up and how like navigating that, but navigating that and like a but also the person navigating it being like challenged by their own mental health issues and, you know, emotional issues and like
trauma. Right.
It's really good. But anyway, I guess I don't know how we got on that, but anyway.
I wanted to ask, because you're recording your album soon, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm recording it on November 22nd, at Good Nights. It will be a pop-up venue. It will be, they're in between, big venues right now. Mm-hmm. Right now they're just doing, this pop-up, but it's a great room. It will look different. So that's actually why I'm trying to get someone to film our shows in Charlotte. Cause I might want a multi-cam thing for that, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I think I might wait till Austin, but I'm also, if you're in Austin, I don't know if you get I don't know where your listeners are, if they're in Charlotte or if they're all
hey
over.
me neither, bud. Well, you say hi to my mom real quick. I'm sure she's listening.
Yeah, where's your mom live?
Memphis.
Right, because you're that's a cool place to be from. That's like a fun, cool.
I just watched this whole video of The Rock giving like huge props to Memphis. Apparently he started his wrestling career there.
Whoa.
I was like, I knew we had so much in common.
Yeah, you guys are equally jacked.
Yeah.
He's cool. I liked him. Or like him, excuse me. Yeah, and then but if you're in Austin, I'm also I'm hoping everyone just comes to the recording that wants to come. And that will be a lot of fun. But then I'm going to Austin the week before, and I'm going to be recording in the smaller room at Cap City. Not recording, but
oh, cool.
The material, yeah, because they're owned by Helium, who owns Good Nights now. So, and Drew Morgan will be with me on that. So if you're a well-read comedy fan, then definitely come.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so. Well, I'm so excited for you. November 12th, I'm going to try to be there. I would love to be there.
I'll comp you a ticket. Well, I feel like. With comics, they just kind of get in. Regardless, you'll get in for free. I don't care how it happens. Okay, you'll be in for you.
Man, well, we have it on recording now, so.
Yes, this is officially. Yeah, Jeremy Essig hears this.
If it's Jeremy, I'm good.
I'm really excited to see the. I want to check out the Comedy Zone at some point. I've never actually been to the Comedy Zone. I'm going to be doing those shows that are like adjacent to it. The shows
we're right.
doing this, there aren't they like some, there's some connection to it, right?
Yeah. So what Harrison and I will be at Devil's Logic this Saturday. So if you're listening to this on Thursday, when we release, you can come see us on Saturday, Devil's Logic in Plaza Midwood. John Alice books that, and he works for the Comedy Zone. So it's one of their semi like offsite locations where they book outside of the club.
Yeah. I'm excited for these shows. This is going to be so much
fun. And Lenny Boy is too. Yeah. Harrison will be at Lenny Boy on Friday, which is an amazing venue. I love it's a brewery in South End. It's puts on amazing shows.
Yeah. I'm excited for you to feature me for me. Chris Mond is really funny, but
yeah, he is.
I have a deeper connection with you at this point. Maybe he'll
laugh you. Have you even met? Have you even met Chris? Like, I feel like that's not even a huge compliment for you to say we have a deeper connection when we're like actually friends.
Yeah, is Chris a very like goofy guy?
No, not at all. No. He's hilarious, but he's not goofy.
Not goofy. All right, cool. Well, I'm excited. And also, I hope. If you are listening to this and you end up following me on like Instagram or Twitter, please DM me places I need to eat because I'm going to be there for 2 days and I will probably.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell, give me your handles so you can go follow Harrison.
Yeah. So on every single thing, which includes Venmo and Cash App, you can find me at Tweety Jokes. So just like send me some money if you're super, if you can't come to the show, or you still want to support a comedian. Who wants to be a full-time comedian very soon, just send me a few bucks. But it's Tweety Jokes on Instagram, Twitter. I am technically on TikTok, but I have not been using it, which I've been told by literally everyone is a bad idea to not use it.
But, I know. That's why we need to get someone to record this weekend.
Right. My brain is loving not using it. But my career could help. So just Tweety Jokes, but if you just look up Harrison Tweed, you'll find me, Tweety Jokes.
Well, yeah, you can find him in my followers too. He's in there. I follow him. And, when I release this, we'll tag you. Thanks for joining me, Harrison. And thanks everyone for listening. As you know, this is the Comedy Zone podcast. You can check the website, cltcomedyzone.com for shows. We have Rodman here this weekend. Peter Antonou is going to be next week. And then early October, we have the Kenan Thompson Ultimate Comedy Experience. So go to the website, check out some shows, and we will see you next week.
The Comedy Zone Podcast is a production of Comedy Zone Worldwide and is recorded in a bunker just off the Comedy Zone showroom at the Avid Exchange Music Factory in Charlotte, North Carolina. The executive producers of the Comedy Zone Podcast are Brian Heffern and Brian Bartoszewicz. Talent Wrangler is Mike Hall. Original music composed and performed by John McKeever.